Not Kay Vidu Spartaka Kimhi Vishnu. You know that one too? Durashaya Ye Bahir Arthamanina. Persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life, and who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru a similar blind man, attached to external sense objects, cannot understand that the goal of life is to return home back to Godhead and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. Anta yatangir upaniyamanais. That's the one that anta yatangir upaniyamanais. This is the blind man leading another blind man into the ditch. As that happens, materially attached men meet another materially attached man, and they're bound by the ropes of fruitive labor, which are made of very strong cords, and they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries. So the third of this sequence is another very nice one that immediately connects with these instructions here. Unless they smear upon their bodies, naisham matis tavat oruk kramangrin. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnav, completely free from material contaminations, persons very much inclined toward materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, in this way, can one be freed from material contamination? So again, he's speaking about the theme, the no shelter position of material enjoyment through unrestricted sense gratification, or through restricted sense gratification, or attempting to counteract the miseries of material existence through the neutralizing type of liberation attempts. As long as one has those longings and aspirations, one cannot feelingly and properly take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, it's both things are simultaneously essential through the association of the saintly person or the pure devotee of the Lord, as it's being translated here, learn the lessons very well about the illusory shelter of material existence. Because if you don't learn that lesson, then shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord will not be achieved. Which means one will not actually be in full shelter of that pure devotee. Like the question yesterday that was asked about having proper regard and respect for one's teacher who has given the process of devotional service. That shelter means taking up the instruction given, which means part of that instruction is by taking up the instructions very nicely, one thereby leaves aside the false shelters. So one reason why one might not do that, taking up the instructions very nicely, is one is still holding on to those material shelters very tightly. And thus one cannot then feelingly offer appreciation and respect. Let's just take one example. Supposing somebody holds on to pride. I know some people that hold on to pride. They try to be humble, they try to be respectful, they try to be nice devotee, but hold on to pride, and they can't move forward. It's like an animal that's tied by a rope, and there's a stake in the ground. You can't go anywhere, because the rope is just holding you very tightly. They're going through the motions of trying to, be a devotee, but pride holds them. So very merciful are these instructions by Prahlad because it cuts that pride. He doesn't fool around. He cuts that illusory shelter. And that's kindness that he does that, or when others may do that, or especially in the position, sometimes you should be very careful about trying to do this with one another, but when one is in the position of teacher or instructor or spiritual master, some effort may come where the recognition is this person's problem is they're so attached to their pride. See, request the attendant scalpel, please. Suture. Have to do a little operation. You have to amputate the pride of this individual. Very expert. One has to sometimes do that. And that's a loving gesture, but why bring things to that point? Better to hear and see the illusory nature of this material position and take this nice advice, that instruction that Prahlad is giving, and take shelter of that very, very wonderful association that Krishna provides to the sincere devotee. 7:32. Those that have to get up and go to their class and take the shot and so on, please do so. The rest can stay. We'll have some discussion. Okay. A lot of you have this early class. So any from those of you that are remaining, any questions you'd like to bring up? Yeah.
Even after hearing that the illusory nature of this world,
yeah,
and all these things, we can understand when you're hearing. And to some extent, when we are even alone, we understand to some extent. But when it comes to application, our faith then our faith actually shatters.
Not exactly. Well, so let me repeat this for the recording's sake. When we're hearing about the illusory nature of the material world, it's a strong impression. And sometimes even when we're alone, that understanding is there. But when it comes to practical application, something else happens, and our faith becomes weakened or shattered. Is it that your faith is weakened or shattered, or is it that the operative, the modes of nature are operating in a very strong, the passion kicks in, it covers us over. Is it that are you remembering that idea, and you're not sure if it's really true or not?
Feeling of insecurity is whether it is really true.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's advanced. It's more advanced than what normally happens. What normally happens is, in the heat of the chase, when one is very involved in the activities, the duties to be performed, fruit of nature takes over. Passion. One just forgets. And at the end of the day or some time period, then one thinks, wow, what just happened? I just forgot. Completely forgot. But you're saying in your case, there's remembrance, but some insecurity. Maybe, what if it's not true? Well, life gives us plenty of opportunity to analyze this. And just like this example, that I mean, so many examples, but just like the example that I gave, Sankyai Reddy. You know, he's retired, and he was, his expectation was, now I'll be able to live the final years of my life just dedicating myself in devotion to Krishna. Second, that option is not an option. What does that say? There's some, my will is not supreme. There's some controlling force, controlling that I'm subordinate to. What Prabhupada writes in these purports is, the conclusion is that therefore I should accept the service of that superior. Because all of this is temporary and under the control of another besides me. And that's, so I would think that there shouldn't be doubt. Is it really true? Is there really this other controller? And are all these things just temporary? But it's more along the lines of, although understanding these things, one keeps going for it. And one keeps going for it because the positive alternative, I've not yet fully taken shelter of. So I gotta do something, you know, I can't give up something for nothing. I have to give up this temporary illusory for something more substantial. And the access to that something more substantial, he's calling that something more substantial shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, but that access is through the apprenticeship of one who is so situated in that alternative, in that positive alternative realm, in the spiritual energy or spiritual position. Fixed. So, I think in this case it's a very nice example, a very nice application of the point of taking shelter of the spiritual instructor in a personal way. And study their life and study their example. And you know, so things are temporary also. Health may fail and the cold weather is still there. And death will also come. The temporary feature of the material energy is also, the wheel of time is also crushing. But that which is eternal, that shelter, is not going to be crushed. And then one can see through the qualities of that spiritually situated instructor or teacher that doesn't matter what the material condition is, hot or cold, pleasure or pain, honor or dishonor, steady, fixed. They're not a spiritual platform. Can't imitate that. Equanimity of mind, compassionate, and having those qualities. That's wanted. So we can take help from our intelligence, from our ability to analyze and see, just like Prahlad is doing. Temporary nature. It's the happiness that one may, it's two things. Three things. The happiness is an inferior quality. It's mixed with unwanted miseries, and it's all going to be taken. The wheel of time will take it away. Crushed. It does happen. If you study, it does happen. It does happen. Anything else? Yes.
Are menial services vary from person to person?
Is it compulsory? Menial services?
Vary from person to person.
Menial services, everything varies from person to person. Yeah. That's good, isn't it? We're different personalities. Imagine what it would be like if we were one personality, one image, one form. Yes. Variety is there. Okay?
How should we define the services?
How should you define the services? Those menial services? You accept them as they're given out. And if you don't yet have any, you ask. Can I ask menial service? Sure. Do you have any? No? Do you want any? Yeah? There's probably somebody you can approach and say, is there something? My time is restricted, but I'd just like to do something. You have something? I'd like to do something on a regular basis. I don't have a lot of time, but something. There's something I can put my heart into that. That would be a very, very nice step. Just from hearing to act on that, that would be, Krishna will be very pleased to see that. Very pleased. You have something? Yeah.
Prabhu, while trying to become devotee, he's doing service and living from obstacles.
Obstruction?
I don't know, obstacles.
Obstacle.
I don't know why they are coming and how I.
Do you see the obstacles that are coming? They're internal or they're external or both?
Both.
When you see the obstacle coming, then what do you do?
I can, to some extent, avoid internal, but I was not able to avoid external.
Okay, external obstacles are more difficult for you than internal ones. Can you give an example? I don't want to embarrass you. If you don't want to, you don't have to.
Some non-devotees are changing in negative way.
Yeah. So the obstacle is persons who are not devotees saying, we don't like that you become this dedicated to this way of, this path of devotion. You should leave it.
They are not doing like that, but they are feeling me sort of anywhere.
Okay, they're not directly coming out and saying give it up, but they're making you feel uncomfortable because they're not happy, and that vibration is there. We're not happy with what you're doing. Well, welcome to the club. Because, so then you have to be thoughtful. It's good that you're bringing it up. the thought, one thoughtful thing to do is, I'll just say it as a rule of thumb. When one becomes involved with serving the Supreme Lord, as a very quick way to understand who your real friends are. Because a real friend simply wants to see that you're happy. And someone that's a partner in business, they want to see that you're delivering a certain goods and services. Right? I'm a businessman. And I'll go to I'll sign a contract with somebody, and I'll pay something because they deliver something, goods or services. And if they stop delivering those goods or services, I'm breaking the contract, it's over. I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore because you're not supplying. right? Business. So supposing I have a relationship with another person. I like you because you supply something that I need. Whatever it is. And if you stop supplying what I need, contract's over. I'm not your friend, it's a business relationship. And a friend is one who simply wants to see your well-being and your happiness. So, associations of friendships and also family, they're is something that we all experience. I just, you know, certain people, just some of my experience, certain people that I was very, very close friends with in college when I became a devotee, they came to visit me at the temple, but after seeing, I'm not fun anymore. I'm not going to go and do some sense gratification things with them anymore. Just not going to do that. And I can respect that they're not in my position. But they can respect that I'm in this position. And I'm not fun anymore, so they came once and that's it. It wasn't really friendship, it was, can't we do some sense gratification things? I mean, it wasn't something gross, but I'm not interested. It's just, I mean, we'll talk. But let's talk about, you know, things that Prahlad wants to talk about. That's not fun anymore. And with my parents were, of course everybody has a different set of parents, a different set of circumstances. In my case, my parents were, they were happy that I was happy. Deeper, they wanted me to keep going with my career and get married and have children so they could have grandchildren and they could point, here's my son, and here's his friend, here's his children, how nice. But I didn't do any of that. So they were a little disappointed. But ultimately, they were happy that I was happy. And that's what they said to me. We're happy that you're happy. They didn't understand anything that I was doing or why I was doing it. They didn't ask, they didn't really want to know. Because if they had, I understood if I tried to tell them, in my particular parent's case, they would have hurt them. Emotionally, they would have thought, oh, you mean we taught you all the wrong things? And we're wasting 60 years of our life? Going the wrong direction? They couldn't face that. I understood that. So I didn't try to, you know, preach to them. I just was happy. I showed them I was happy. They were happy that I was happy. So there was some genuine, they were able to act on that platform. There was some genuine affection for me. They were able to set aside their interest and accept this is something that's very, very important to me and makes me very happy, and so we're happy. So, back to the jumping off point. You'll come to understand what the real position of friendship is by becoming a devotee. If you're not going to be a participant in sense gratification with certain persons, the relationship is over. But that's not friendship. It's something else. There's no formal contract, but it's an informal contract. You supply, and I supply something. And that's the way of this material world. It's something everyone in devotional service, not just everyone here, but everyone, everywhere, has had to understand. Welcome to the club. So then you have to be very clear, what do I want? Do I want relationships that are based on what's really making me happy and ultimately meant for all living entities to become happy? Or do I want to maintain these relationships that are based on a business deal. You go through life that way. You can make a choice. Each of us has to make such a choice. And behind the whole scene, something, this is from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, but behind the scene is Maya. It's not even so much those people that are creating the obstacle, it's Maya. Maya's business is to keep hold of conditioned souls. But Maya knows exactly how to keep us in her clutches. Bhaktisiddhanta said exactly the same thing. Where he was instructing brahmacharis who were in his care in the temple, or under his training, not just brahmacharis, persons who were under his training, that if persons would in various ways come to pull away from devotional service, that's the orchestration of Maya, and someone else is just a puppet. Maya's pulling the strings, and we're attached to Maya. To some degree, we still have those attachments. We want that acceptance. And the translation of that is, we want that business relationship, because that's all we know. That's friendship to us. That's happiness in friendship to us. But it's illusory. It's not real friendship. It's not real happiness. Just like Prahlad. When there's a little pinch or inconvenience, so to become a devotee, one has to be more thoughtful than a conditioned soul normally is thoughtful. Has to be. It really takes intelligence to continue on effectively. Intelligence and thoughtfulness. Like I mentioned yesterday, munishina. One has to be thoughtful. How I processed that was, I'd rather have friendship that's real. It's not based upon the material deal between the two of us. Something else? Anyone else? Yes.
Sometimes it
doesn't matter
whether we perform devotional service.
That's very advanced understanding.
But sometimes it's told when someone gets associated with Krishna Krishna associated, then it can be better than
no, when somebody is, the question is, for the recording's sake, someone is serving Krishna in the spiritual world directly, someone serving in the material world, Krishna isn't directly present, isn't serving the spiritual world better. Someone who is in this world serving Krishna, they know that they have Krishna's association. Someone who is advanced knows that they have Krishna's association. So, but what you're saying, Prabhupada addressed it this way, in the beginning stage, that's us, we should very much desire to be with Krishna. And in the advanced stage, one can take this position as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. If you so desire, you can engage me in service anywhere. Because just like Prahlad says later on in this chapter, just by chanting your holy name immediately, you're present. So I have no problem. We don't have that realization because our consciousness is not so spiritually evolved or advanced. So for us, it's good to desire to go back to Godhead and serve Krishna there. Okay? Someone else? Just another?
And devotional service is nothing for people to person manage all the so many things and clear all the rest of them and meet our responsibility in the world.
Yeah.
So, I am able to operate my business and I when I go to receive my devotional service, I have to buy it for the $1,000 at the end of my life. I am watching them, the different devotees coming here, and then somewhere they are, and I am not sure. So, means, what am I supposed to do? How we should maintain? This is a very difficult situation. This means mind playing with us, having. But now, comes the big question mark, and something we can bring from that.
And what's the big question mark? What did it say after it?
When I go through, as you wrote my
okay. Your question is, since there's so, the risks are there, not only I feel the pullings and pushings, but I see sometimes somebody also may get dragged away. Will I be successful? It's such a delicate matter and so complex, it seems. Will I be successful? That's my doubt. That's the question. Well, several things. One of the first things that Prabhupada addresses in this regard is that svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Svalpam means very little. Sva-alpa. If one engages a little bit in this devotional service, it's never lost. It's one thing. For something material, not the case. I have to complete to its completion. That's your question. Just like Prabhupada gives the example building a house. So you dig the foundation. Then you solidify the foundation. And then you put up the basic frame. Then you put up the walls. Then you put the window frames and the doors and then all the finish work. And then, and only then is it inhabitable. If you just stop halfway, useless. You have to do it all the way, then it's inhabitable. And so on with any material example, you must take it to a completion. And then it might have some value. At least in the material sense, some value. But in spiritual matters, even if progress is 1%, and then I desist, I come back next lifetime, 1% is still there. I begin at 2%. It's never lost. So, like this example that someone went deviated, not only that the progress that they made will not be lost, but it was much easier to once again restore them to their position of devotional service. I didn't tell that part of the story, but just one conversation. And I know what's specifically in the heart of the person. It's greed for his material success in his occupation. And that overwhelms him. But it's not even in my discussion with the individual, it was very, very easy because of the training he's gotten that he could understand the point that I was making. If you would rise early in the morning and perform your sadhana, would that impede or would that enhance your career trajectory. Because from not performing that sadhana, what is it doing? You're sleeping 10 hours a day. And you're in the mode of ignorance. And you're morose. Those things gonna enhance your career trajectory? But when you first came and you were chanting and associating with the devotees, you were happy. You were in much more in the mode of goodness. And from that position, you'll be much better off. Even just from the career planning side of things. So don't make this mistake. He said, you're right. Tomorrow, And he did. Because I asked afterwards. So that's another thing. You're brought closer to the spiritual position, whatever progress one makes. And another very important thing is that there's the Krishna factor. Krishna's help is there. If he sees from you or any one of us sincere endeavor, he may test that sincerity, but when he sees that sincerity is there, he'll help us hundreds of times beyond our little effort. Because we're very tiny and any effort we're going to make is going to be little, whatever it is. But Krishna is unlimited and his 100 times reciprocation is very, very significant. Including looking after one's worldly responsibilities. Krishna can do that far better than we can. Or with Krishna's help, we're in a much better position to look after those things. I see it practically. We also see people that go off with their careers and go completely into illusion. And they may accumulate wealth, but the quality of their life becomes totally abominable. And in some cases they know it, but they're on the treadmill, they feel they can't do anything about it. Some people go so far they just forget it. They just are lost. I could give personal life stories of people what that's happened. The family gets broken and, everything's horrible. Because they just go cuckoo. Losing touch with their spiritual culture. Their spiritual duties of life. So it's protection. And empowerment. And the position of happiness. So whether we complete in this lifetime or don't, there's no loss for whatever effort we make. But if we remain steadfast and very sincere, Krishna can carry us to that concluding point. And that I've also seen. It's not without effort. It's not 1, 2, 3, just close your eyes and wake up and you're there. But with effort, with sincerity, consistent and gradual progress is made. By Krishna's great help, not just by our own little ability. You can see in the examples of just like I'm sure people come here who have been involved with this program previously and now they're somewhere. They come back and study the qualities that they have. Are they the kind of qualities that you would like to have in your life? At one time they were like you. Not trained.